fun, and welcome people here. We have visitors here with us. Welcome you to the service. Definitely been a blessing to be here thus far.
The word kingdom
definition is strong, because it speaks loyalty, realm, rule, or range. And it would give us the thought of being part of something and also having, being under authority, being under a rule or a rank, where you are, so we're part of the kingdom of God or part of the kingdom of this world. Either one, there's a rule there that we are under. So, Luke 13, verses 18 through 21, it says, then said he, answered, who is the kingdom of God like? Whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowl of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and did in 3 measures of milk till the whole was leaven. So here he describes the kingdom of God briefly. My takeaway from this is it talks about it being a grain of mustard seed, which is a very small item. And then it grows exponentially, and it increases many times, produces enormous results. And that takes faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says it is impossible to please God without faith. And then also, we see this talks about found the air lodged in the branches of it. And leaven, it causes bread to rise. And anyway, the kingdom of God is a blessing to and provides for the needs of others. And so this morning, I believe that I'm talking to a group of people here that would identify being part of God's kingdom, part of the kingdom of God this morning. And so I'm not here to try to discern what kingdom you're a part of. But I'd like to focus on this morning the question, what are we doing? Kingdom of God has historically always had a positive influence on culture that is part of it. We see verses here talk about Kingdom of God is like suffering and mustard seed and leaven, it influences things around it. And we're part of that Kingdom of God this morning. What impact are we making in our community around us? So now let's turn to chapter Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 21. I'd like to take that chapter and learn from it. And read across this chapter recently. What's with different aspects of it here? I think we'll just begin reading in verse 1. Matthew chapter 21. When Israel and I in Jerusalem were come to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus to his disciples, saying to them, go to the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ox tied and filled with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say all unto you, he shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, spoke another prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, I see come up unto thee, me sitting on an ox, and a colt full of ox. The disciples went and did as he was commanded, brought the ox and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set in their arms. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, well, then is the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
When he comes into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee." Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and seized with them that were sold up, and said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it the den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him from the temple, and he opened. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and showed her a crown, and saying, "Well then, if it's the son of David, they were sore displeased." And said unto him, "Hearest thou what ye say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings the hot perfected praise?" And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Okay, we'll briefly stop there. Here we get a picture of what our kingdom is like. So, part of the kingdom of God, and this is what our kingdom is like. We see here that he is humble and lowly. It talks here about how Jesus went riding through the city on an ox, or a colt, an untrained donkey, I guess. So he doesn't even have his own ride. Then he ministers to the blind, lame, and the outcast. So we see here that the religious leaders, they were doing things that he didn't appreciate, and he had to set them straight before. And then it says the blind and lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So he had authority. He was definitely the king, but he was humble and meek and lowly. And also he receives honor and praise from children and those that are humble. Okay. Now going on to the next part, let's read verses 18 through 22. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done in the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Okay, so we have this scenario here where a fig tree that appeared from a distance, it appeared okay. Jesus expected to receive nourishment from it. But when he got close, it was not bearing fruit. I don't understand trees that well myself, especially fig trees. So I don't know exactly what the situation was here, why it didn't have fruit on it. But I'd like to take some lessons from this. In this fig tree depicts how we can get high. We can look ever so high. We can look, we can have nice leaves on us. Looking like a good good healthy trees, and that we're not producing fruit that we do. So there's different things that can affect fruit bearing on a tree. Like to look some of that. But also, I do want to say that leaves are important. Trees need leaves to be able to produce fruit. So I'd like to look at that a little bit first.
My life. help protect and to honor, but sometimes lacking truth is a result of an ugly life or a disease on the tree. My life, maybe I have an ugly life on my leaves to prevent truth from developing. Some light or diseases that might hinder truth in my life. Would be envy or bitterness, or brother or sister, lack of forgiveness. You know, it's the way we're made. We provide when others think well of us, appreciate us. When we see another person getting ahead or being successful, it's a challenge sometimes to be happy for them and to not be envious. What about impure thoughts and desires? Love. It's something we all deal with. And we're all full of temptations in this way. What about the love of this world? Investing all our time and resources into earthly pursuits, whether it's our business, hobby, or even our family, and get freedom from God. So that it negatively affects your spiritual life. And it affects the fruit that we're producing. The verse in Mark chapter 4, verse 8. That it has come from another stone of the ground, the ideal tree that sprang out of the tree, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So, let's bear fruit to the best of our abilities, whether it's maybe some bear more fruit than others in a certain sense, but here it brings out that God wants us to bear fruit according to our ability, according to what He has allowed us, or potential that He has given us. 30, 60, 100. Okay, let's looking back at Matthew 21, let's continue reading a few more verses there. Verse 23, I believe, where we are. It says, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders and the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. Which of you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things? The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of them, we hear the people, follow John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. He said unto them, neither shall they use by what authority I do these things. Stop there. Religious leaders. I think this is referring back to earlier in the chapter where Jesus cast them out of the temple. And now here they're asking, what authority do you have to do that? You know, that was their way of life. And they felt that they had the right to do that. And they were asking Jesus, what authority do you have to do these things? And they're a prime example of a person attempting to grow nicely, but they were not very fruitful in their lives. They were more concerned about their business dealings and man-made rules than they were about the needs of others. They also had a fear of man instead of a fear of God. See here that Jesus came back to them with the question, and it says they reasoned among themselves.
what they did here, and they said, then it said, root beer. That's my picture of people saying, I'm happy for the people to follow the Genesis process. So they were not free to answer clearly there. They had a fear of man. And that's something we can, we face. we can have that tendency as well. You guys challenge to be honest about what God has shown to us. Never ended up doing it. He never did it, what he said he would do.
follow through with it. We can get what we've got. I'm sure both of these sons knew what they should do. They knew what their father wanted them to do. The same way as us. God reveals his will to us. Are we going faithful with what we do now? Okay, the last step, verses 42 through 44. Brings out a severe judgment on those who reject the kingdom of God. It says, up about the stones who were rejected. And building upon that, and producing a solid foundation to build upon, it fell upon them in ground and power, destroyed them. And then, we see severe judgment here on those that do not take God's word. All right, I'm going to switch gears here a little. And look at an example of someone who, I don't know if he didn't produce fruit, but he didn't produce good fruit. I think what we can say, well, we will produce fruit in our life, whether it's good or bad fruit. And that is a familiar story of Abraham. So let's turn to Joshua.
Make not all people believe that
thither, for they are but few. So there went out thither the people, about 3,000 men. They fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they take them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them into going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became into water. And Joshua rent his clothes and put a deer on his face for the ark of the Lord until the evening sat. He and the elders of Israel put the dust on their head. All right, stop there briefly. They have just had a great victory over Jericho. They utterly destroyed Jericho. The city walls crumbled and fell. And they killed everyone, utterly destroyed it. And so they were really doing pretty confident here. And they came to Ai, and Ai needed to be, they go to take Ai. That's kind of their next point here. So they observed it, thought that, well, we'll just be able to handle this. And we have a story here. God obviously is not with them. And they turned and fled, seems like almost pretty quickly. 36 of them were killed. Joshua says, rent his clothes and fell near for God. Sure, he was sad and couldn't understand what was going on. But I was with him, helping God. I'd like to read the next few verses from the Living Translation, verses 7 through 12. Joshua cried out to the Lord, O Jehovah, why have you brought us over the Jordan River if you are none but Amorite killers? Why weren't we content with what we had? Why didn't we stay on the other side? O Lord, what am I to do now that Israel has fled from her enemies? For when the Canaanites and the other nearby nations hear about it, they will surround us and attack us and wipe us out. And then what will happen to honor your very name? The Lord said to Joshua, get up off your face. Israel has sinned and disobeyed my command. Have taken loot when I said it was not to be taken. They have not only taken it, they have lied about it, and have hidden it among their belongings. That is why the people of Israel are being defeated. That is why your men are not their enemies, for they are cursed. I will not stay with you any longer unless you completely rid yourselves of this sin. In verse 11, it has the word dissemble. That means to be untrue, deceive, deal falsely, and to lie. So now I'll continue reading here. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves again tomorrow. For let's say, Lord God Israel, there isn't a first thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thy enemy, for you take over the first thing from among them. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and show you that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the family of Jacob. The family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. It shall be that he that is taken with their cursing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Okay, we'll skip down over a few of these verses. The next morning, Joshua rose up early and did what God had said. He brought each family together, and God had
describe how to find who was at fault here. And it found him in the point, and Nathan answered Joshua and said, "Be I sitting here for the Lord God, that's from God." And I saw among the spoils of Israel, Babylonian's garment, 200 shekels of silver. So I was gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I covered them, and I spoke to them, "Behold, they are hidden in the tent, in the midst of my tent." Excuse me. "They are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and silver under it." Joshua sent out to me, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hidden in the tent.
And they took it out, and then
verse 26, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. The Lord turned from the verse of stone anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor unto this day. This morning, how often have we found ourselves in the shoes? Often I like on the phone. You know, first reaction is, well, I can do such a thing. But if we're honest with ourselves, he was very much like each one of us. He obviously reasoned with himself. Couldn't hurt to take a little bit like he did. I'm sure he wasn't thinking he'd actually wear that robe. And look at all the good things he would be able to do with this gold and silver. I mean, they're moving to a new area, and they're going to need that. They can settle down in England. It's going to be some hard times. Yeah, I think Jaden's reason here was different than I found myself. So I don't really understand, you know, God here, the way he dealt. There was times when people seem to have gotten away with things like this, and this time God was very, very just clear, but I think it was an important time in history. God's people here. I'm thankful for the mercy of God in my life. I'm sure we can all say that. Now I can. There have been times in my life that God definitely showed mercy to me. But what could we be, what could we have given under our tent in the fruit of our life? Like you see here, it also affects others. Affects the whole tribe or the whole congregation that lived here. I think where Achan fell here was going against God's word. It's a clear direction that he's given. And obviously there was steps in that. Lying and hiding in the sand. And so, yeah, we can look at that and bring it down to our day. We still have God's word today with us. We have the direction, and it's still as important as ever to follow his direction. Looking some at God's word. John 8, verse 31 and 32, I'll just read over that here. "For then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We're familiar with those verses. We'll read a little bit of a copy of this book that I've been reading. When you have seen
Warren. We've been blessed with some of the things many of our troubles occur because we make our choices on unreliable sources instead of God's word. Maybe culture, everyone is doing it, tradition, we follow the money, reason, it seems logical, or reduction, it's just felt by us. Yeah, we need to think of it. Okay. All four of these are flawed by the fall. What we need is a perfect standard that will not lead us in the right direction. Only God's word makes that mean. Okay.
does not sin to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, yet he never sinned. Temptation always comes to sin when you get into it. Martin Luther said, you cannot keep birds flying over your head, keep them away from nests in your hair. You can't keep the devil from suggesting thoughts, but you can choose not to dwell or act. Alright. And then I have more on temptation. I'd like to look at four keys to defeating temptation. It says briefly. Alright, this stuff also from that book. And the first number one is refocus your attention on something else. Temptation, when we face a temptation, it's often our need to focus on the temptation. It's big for us. It's not real. The Bible does not tell us to resist temptation. It says to resist the devil. And we need to flee temptation. We need to find James 4:7 says, resist the devil, he will flee from us. That's it. So we need to focus on something besides our temptation. Turn to a couple of verses in 1 Timothy.
Inability to honor our own strength by the devil. an important step in overcoming.
Whoever's Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things, and that's the only way we can know.
Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
That's all I have. Let's stand for